This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. And we'll start off with roll call, and I'll have TC go ahead and start roll call for us.
Ian Akashello.
Here.
Valerie Amos.
Present.
Marcy Benda.
Here.
I didn't hear Valerie when she called up here. Are you hearing the audio in the room?
Can you guys hear me?
Okay.
I am definitely here. Yep.
All right. Richard Benzel.
Yes.
Steph and Katie.
Here.
Look at Nicola Donev.
Here, Donev.
Donev. Eve DeRosa. Jacob Fite.
Here.
Brandon Fortenberry.
Here.
Thomas Fox. Justin Hanlon.
Here.
David Heiner.
Excuse. And Thomas Fox is also excused.
Deborah Howell.
Here.
Carolyn Levine.
Present.
Manaya Lewis. Anali Anonya.
Here.
James Richards.
He said he would be here late for that.
Stephanie Tanis. Jessica Withers.
Here.
Well, that's five absent, so that's two. I think that's enough for quorum.
Okay, yeah. All right, perfect. So we do have quorum. All right, I'd like to read the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homeland of the Gayagono, the Cuban Nation. The Gayagono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayagono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayagono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Now we'll call for any late additions to the agenda. Seeing none, we have no late additions to the agenda. Next up is approval of the meeting minutes from September 14th.
Yes, I have a slight change. All right, so under 7, part D, 7, part D, second sentence, it should read, two resolutions came before the Senate affirming the right and responsibility of the faculty for instruction and student safety in the classroom. Striking responsibility of individual rights and responsibility for the teacher's dedication to faculty and student safety.
All right. Was that, is the motion to make that sort of thing, or we would make that?
Well, I'll move it. But.
All right. We have a motion to amend. Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any objections to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment passes. With that amendment, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes, unless there are other.
I also have a motion to amend, actually. Under section 11, part B, number 3, the response where it says, I, Akashola, stated that there is a New York state law for falling into wealth. I'd like to amend that to say that I, Akashola, stated there are some liability issues concerning New York state law. Still under discussion.
I have a motion to amend, and I want to clarify we are in section 9B, subsection 3-1. Do I have a second for that motion?
Second.
Okay. We And a second by Richard. Any objections? Seeing none, that amendment is passed. Any other amendments or motions to approve? Richard has moved to approve, and a second from Jacob. So, any objections? And seeing none with the amended motion there, the meeting minutes passed. All right, next up we have open forum. So, item that I wanted to note here is in regard to updates regarding potential invitees and guest speakers. I have sent out an invitation to Chief David Honan to attend here to the University Assembly to give us updates on the work that's being done via Cornell Police as it pertains to public safety. As some may know, there was a feedback session today from the Public Safety Advisory Committee recommendation. Another one will be following tomorrow. I'll put in a plug to ask everyone to spread the word about tomorrow's session. Today's session was lightly attended, and hope for a greater level of participation in that conversation. Chief Honan was in attendance at the session and will be again at tomorrow's session. So we have invited him to come and talk to us a little bit about the work they're doing at Cornell Police, as well as response to the recommendations from the Public Safety Advisory Committee on how they view the implementation of that. Welcome any questions or thoughts or concerns as it pertains to that invitation. Additionally, knowing that Jacob is reaching out to, would you like to give an update on reaching out to facilities?
Yeah, facilities, Brandon's kind of shared me some of the information from facilities folks, but I've chosen to work on a resolution regarding lighting first and then call them for potentially a hearing so we can have a more targeted approach with our question. So more updates in weeks following.
Any other conversation or thoughts as it pertains to potential guest invitees to speak to the group here?
I forgot until I saw the agenda. I did look up the group that is going to be coming to the Employee Assembly. It's the Conflict Coaching and Mediation Services. But they may have already presented to Student Assembly? Yeah, okay. So that's just a possibility. They should be coming to the EA in October.
Thank you, Jessica. And Steve Valley has her hand up for recognition.
So I don't know if this is really more for the General Assembly or I might actually need to go into committee. I'm not sure. But I was thinking maybe the university architect could give a quick update on the proposed changes that are coming through in the engineering quad. They're thinking about putting an addition on one of the buildings, plus the movement of the actual baseball fields from where they are now to further away, and then there's a whole bunch of things going through. So I don't know if that's in this committee that should be invited or in the infrastructure committee. Just throwing it out there.
Thank you, Valerie. Ian, any thoughts from your perspective on that?
So the campus planning committee had a meeting 2 weeks ago where I believe they definitely discussed the baseball field. I believe they also discussed the building on the engineering quad as well. I'd have to check my notes.
Interrupt a second. I'm on the committee, so yeah. You know that, right? I assume that you knew that.
I'm sorry, I actually didn't know that.
Oh, yes. I'm on the campus planning committee as well. Not that, so my point would really be not so much that you as a liaison do the update, but rather that the architect could come in and show the plans and all that other stuff. Does that make sense?
There's interest in that. I have no objections.
So with the invited guests, the way we kind of have been doing this so far, the executive committee having conversations to discuss how best to go about doing that invitation. I see Richard has his hand up. I recognize Richard.
Good. Just request, can we turn up the volume for the Zoom
I'll second the motion to turn the volume up there. Valerie, would you mind giving us another quick volume check there?
Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. All right. So thank you so much, Valerie, for that recommendation. I'll bring that to the executive committee to discuss the opportunity to be able to invite the University Architects to give us updates on some of the upcoming changes and plans that pertain to universities. Any other comments or questions that are to invited guests? Then our goal is to really have this be a forum for us to learn as much as we can about things going on in the university. So welcome and appreciate thoughts, ideas, suggestions on ways that we can help to inform all of us that pertain to the constituent university. All right, with no business of the day, nor any late addition to the agenda, we can move into our assembly report. So I'll recognize that. To give us an update on the student assembly.
Yep. So we did a lot of resolutions last year for student assembly. We have resolution number 25, which is defending Haitian students and defending further resources for programs helping community, which is basically talking about the issues happening at the border of Haiti right now. That resolution passed. We also had a special funding resolution for the accessibility case competition that's happening on campus. That resolution also passed, so that was just providing the funding for the project that they're working on. We had a resolution, this was my resolution, that passed, which was in support of policy 6.3, the interim policy and the updates, and that passed by unanimous consent. We're also going to have representatives from Title IX to speak to us, not this Thursday, the following Thursday, to talk about basically the interim policy. We ratified our standing rules. We updated our standing rules. Basically, what we did was just codifying our special projects from the application. So it's been informally used in the past, but we just basically codified it in our standing rules. We actually ratified our bylaws, which in our bylaws, we added an ex officio seat for student athletes on campus. And then we also changed our tri-council ex officio seat to be separated by the different organizations represented in the tri-council. So that's IFC, MGFC, and Panhel. So they all have their own separate ex officio seats now. We passed a resolution to change our agenda to be a consent agenda. And then we began staffing our committees. Most of our committees are staffed right now, just going through some final changes on that. And then lastly, sorry, I feel like I've talked a lot. John Verdick is going to be coming to our SA meeting this Thursday to talk about the state of financial aid on campus. Just because a lot of students have requested that. So that's
going to
be more of an open forum to students here.
Thank you very much. I have a question. Question and a comment. So, some years ago, we got but we were interested in the relationship between domestic and international students with financial aid. And we found, uncovered, that only, I think, at that time, 7% of international students were need-based admissions, and something like over 90% were not. And we pressed on this, the administration on this, because it was introducing a class bias into the student body. So that only upper class foreign students could afford Cornell, would come. And this is also part of what we were thinking. We're concluding, surmising, that the university was using the surplus money from the admission of international students to subsidize domestic students. So when you have this meeting with upcoming meeting with this admissions officer, you might raise some of those issues. They've been really, the administration has been very, very reluctant to discuss the discrepancy between domestic and foreign students in the admissions process. So I wish you luck. but it's been really hard to do. But I think those issues are very important, not only for the student assembly, but I think for the university generally.
Any other questions or feedback around? I have a couple myself. Could you talk to me a little bit more about the agenda change that you made and what that means?
Yep, so that was passed by Representative Lucas Smith, and basically he was motioning for a consent agenda. And basically, to the knowledge that I have, in that it's going to be a resolution that's kind of ongoing. We have 2 weeks before we start implementing it, is that it's going to include all of the basically feedback that we get from the president public from every resolution we pass to her, and then also basically show by unanimous consent all the resolutions that we pass by unanimous consent or are being passed by unanimous consent that we have listed there. Because that happens a lot recently.
Okay, so that just so that kind of addresses the number of resolutions that come forth that have limited debate in them so that they can be included in there. And I guess if I understand, then when the agenda comes out, it's clear to folks those that are going to be typically seen as the unanimous consent items. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good information. And actually, Richard, I wanted to hear a little bit more about the financial aid, but I think Richard provided a much better perspective than just my tell me more question that I had. So I appreciate that feedback because I think it's important to understand how financial aid is done. But I mean, then looking at students now, the requirement to live on campus and have meal plans on campus obviously has brought some more understanding of that financial process and how students look at that. So, what was the date on that one?
Yeah, so he is going to be here this Thursday. I'm not exactly sure what the date is. Okay, this
is
in 3 days.
I'll see if I can tune into that.
What?
31st to move?
31st?
Yeah.
And yeah, so John Burdick.
Oh, it's the 30th.
Oh, sorry. and so he's just going to be giving us a status update on what's happened with financial aid since students haven't had their financial aid packages yet. And I believe it was 2 weeks ago we had a student protest in relations to financial aid and campus fees. So he's just giving an update from the office.
John Burdick is the vice provost for enrollment. So.
Great. Thank you, Emily, for that update. Thank you, Duncan, for the clarification on the date there.
Well, I got it wrong.
It was a re-clarification.
Right.
Any other questions?
Yeah, very quickly. I know you're not an interviewer, Lucas Smith, but I hope you can answer this. How will you determine which resolution are going to be passed by unanimous consent?
So I've talked with him a little bit about this. I think the intention more is that would just be one additional element in how we communicate our legislation. I think really the ideology, I can't speak to exactly any future intentions with how we're going to work with the consent agenda. What I got from my conversation with Lucas, though, is that the purpose of this is to kind of recodify how we go through things, how things are presented to President Pollack, and then how things, the same things as like pejorative for resolutions and comments and statements, are then published. So it's kind of, and then worked through a little bit in the essay. I think details and practice something we have to work out. So part of the resolution was that it would be a 2 week break for kind of the same purpose of communication we're having right now, which is that a lot of members weren't sure exactly how it's gonna look different and how we work with this. But I assume by next meeting, we'll have that 2 weeks over and we can communicate more thoroughly what that's going to look like.
Yeah, I feel that if you have unanimous consent, vote for me personally, I feel that a unanimous vote, the strength of that unanimous vote is severely weakened because it was a unanimous consent vote. So I think it adds a lot more credibility if you have a vote that's not unanimous consent, yet it's voted unanimously by the members, then presented to the president, as opposed to conveying that this was conducted under unanimous consent.
I'd be happy to echo that. I think it's an interesting perspective.
Thank you for the question, Jacob, and a clarification, Duncan. There was a comment here from Nick and Neff about the resolution, and the resolution called it a consent agenda. And what was the, do you know the resolution number that was attached to that? So we can
It was a late edition, so
resolution number 29. It was a late edition, so it was not on our agenda.
Okay, thank you very much. And offer up Nick to ensure that clarifies the question for you. Good for now, unless we hear otherwise. Thank you very much, Emily. Appreciate your time.
Can I do a point of order?
Yes.
I'm hearing people on Zoom are having a hard time hearing us.
Oh, yeah, it's just brief.
Did you get the okay. Just in case.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, thank you very much for that feedback. Has the audio been, is it better now for folks on Zoom? If I could ask somebody to raise their hand and let us know if they can hear us.
Brandon, I can hear you really well, but I couldn't hear most of the other people. It feels like the microphone is like closer to you and Jacob.
Thank you. I guess we'll just ask everybody to project a little bit more as they do their assembly reports. I had thought there's four microphones in here. You would think it would catch all of us, but unfortunately, maybe there's some challenges there. So thanks for letting us know. All right. So with that, then we'll move on to the next assembly report. I'll recognize President to do the graduate professional student assembly report.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. So we had a very busy meeting last night. We finally filled the rest of our vacancies on our executive committee. And then we also had some different breakout sessions to fill the rest of the voting member vacancies within for the other voting members. We still have three vacant seats. We're working with the vet school to fill another one, and then I think by the end of the next meeting we'll have everything else sorted out. So we'll be fully staffed. With that as well, we were able to finally dive into some resolutions. The first one was just kind of an echoing the other resolutions that have been passed from the other assemblies about the university providing more accommodations to students with COVID. So we kind of copied the other resolutions just to show our solidarity and to pass something of our own in that regard as well. And then we also had another resolution passed and introduced regarding stirring up more student engagement. We had sent out an email last week basically going over our first meeting and kind of introducing the new executive committee and our goals for the semester and next semester as well. And we used the full listserv we could send out to all of the graduate students, and we actually got a lot of responses back. A lot of people came to our meeting last night who hadn't really known what the GPSA was and were able to get involved and fill some of the different vacancies that we had, which was awesome. We also had over 200 people follow our Instagram page. That was something too. We were people are actually not deleting the emails. So it wasn't 7,000 followers like we would have liked, but it was definitely a good start. And so basically this resolution was to petition to use that listserv more, at least three times a month, to be able to send out bi-weekly emails, kind of letting everybody know what we're doing. So that's all I have.
Any questions for Preston?
Thanks, Brandon. I just wanted to congratulate Preston and his team for pulling this off, because this is the first time in maybe 3 years, maybe even longer, that the GPSA is fully staffed. So that's really awesome. They've really done a tremendous job.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I echo that congratulations. I know it's not easy getting folks involved, so nicely done. All right. Any other questions or comments? All right. we'll move on to Jessica Withers to give us a report from the employee assembly.
We also are having a special election to fill 12 open seats that's started up and is underway. We are working on filling staff seats on the university assembly committees, and hopefully we'll have some more names for those committees after our September 6th meeting. We have an employee assembly member on the stakeholder working group for the interim policy 6.3. And we've started planning the president's address to staff, which looks like it'll be either a Friday or a Monday in mid-November. And we have a group in our welfare committee working on a resolution that will be in support of staff with disabilities under the auspices of diversity, inclusion, and belonging. Those are the big things we're working on at the moment.
Thank you very much, Jessica. Any questions or comments for Jessica? Thank you so much. We'll move on to the Faculty Senate.
We met, Faculty Senate met last Wednesday. Part of the meeting, it's a very spirited meeting. The first portion of the meeting was quite routine. There were two resolutions submitted from the IORR school creating professors of practice, and those were discussed, and there was some comment. The more controversial part of the session was dedicated to the receipt and presentation of a resolution providing for stronger Faculty Senate participation in joint degree programs. And this grows out of, or development, but grows out of the debates and controversies concerning the Hotel School, Peking University program in the spring. The Faculty Senate had rejected that program, and then during the, after the Faculty Senate had adjourned for the year, the administration imposed the program anyway, announcing it during the commencement exercises when most professors were engaged in other activities. So this is now, there's a resolution to correct some of the ways in which that was done in the spring, and it is currently being voted on by the faculty senate.
Thank you, Richard. Any questions or comments for Richard?
I have a question. It's actually not related to what you just said, but I know that students have brought it up. I know last year there was the committee, the anti-racism committee, and the committee for the anti-racism center. I was wondering if there's any updates for the faculty senate on how that's going.
There's been a partial update. The way that was ended up is that there were four resolutions in the spring that were then voted upon by the Faculty Senate. And there were two sets, one for student instruction and one for faculty instruction. And the two resolutions in each set were contradictory. So they were voluntary as opposed to required. But the student one was more departments, colleges would design themselves. Or the university back from the central administration. But in these resolutions, even though they contradicted one another, they were all voted up. So the problem then was how to sort that out, because you can't do A and not A, B and not B at the same time. So what happened is the central administration, the president, said that just restoring it all back to the colleges. When that happens, that takes it out of the Faculty Senate's jurisdiction. Faculty Senate's jurisdiction is only for cross-college programs. So that's about where it is. We have to address probably each college separately for individuals to find out what they need.
Thank you, Mr. Tagalli. Any other questions or comments for Richard on the Faculty Senate? With that, then we'll move on to our committee reports, and I'll turn it over to Jacob to do the executive committee.
Yeah. So we like to keep it very transparent. So we already discussed a lot that we spoke about, but we spoke very briefly last Tuesday, largely in regards to getting speakers and deciding who we were going to invite to come talk to us and how we were going to be, for lack of a better term, strategic about that as to when we were going to bring folks in. And we would like to have the police department and the public safety folks come soon, and then also do a second trip back here later for a hearing so we can understand better how the they have adapted to the new changes to code this year, as well as the new and the name of the office is escaping me now, but the co-judicial folks, the former campus judicial office.
The Office of Student Conduct and Community Standards.
There it is. So we're going to bring those folks in, hopefully around the beginning of the spring semester or so, such that we can have a good number of cases under their jurisdiction, so they really understand better how they they're going to function moving forward. But that was pretty much it, and that's off to the chair.
Thank you, Jacob. I want to add, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to add is the conversation as it pertains to resolution brought forth, and wanted to make sure that the executive committee, as well as the university assembly, knows that, the approach that I've outlined as far as how we bring forth resolutions is not designed or engineered or in hopes of reducing the number of resolutions, but simply in strengthening the resolution. So I wanted to make sure folks heard that important aspect of it, is that bringing those forth to the executive committee to be able to help strengthen those resolutions provide perspective. That's really when I started, when I ran for the position, was around that, being able to utilize my knowledge of the campus and the correct folks to contact as it pertains to resolutions to gather data was really important. So wanted to make sure that one also. As well. All right, with that, perfect timing, James Richards here to give us a quick overview on the Codes and Judicial Committee as it currently stands.
Yeah, let me just put my hand up for that. So, yeah, I'm glad to announce that the CJC, Codes and Judicial Committee, has been fully staffed by the assemblies, and we are now able to form a forum. Our first meeting is going to be this coming week, the week of October 3rd, on either Thursday or Friday. I'll be sending out a poll to the CJC members to determine which day and what times work best for everyone, bearing in mind that there's also a student assembly meeting that Thursday. So among the matters to discuss in our first meeting are the potential revision of the CJC's governing documents to clearly delineate the CJC's role under the new code based on changes between the new and old codes of conduct. We plan to frame this discussion by examining the old CJC governing documents and new code of conduct to determine which features of the CJC still apply and which require revision. The second matter is the changing of the name of the Codes and Judicial Committee in accordance with the new campus code of conduct in order to reflect the code's new educational and aspirational rather than punitive and quasi-criminal tone. And finally, an overview of the success of the appointments and staffing at the university hearing review board. So it's going to be action packed, and we won't lose it.
Thank you very much, Dave. Any questions or comments for Dan?
Some quick questions. I have one more request, if I may. If you would please copy assembly at Cornell so that Wendy and I will be doing what that meeting is.
Yes.
We have a clerk
Thank you, and I know that Gina has been working to get the UHRP applications to the Assemblies and Senate. I don't know if you have an update on that, if you were able to get those out today.
The part of what I was working with the director of the OSCCS is the process. The applications that came in will go to the executive committees of the SA and the GPSA. So we need to sort of tee that up so that folks know what they're supposed to do. So that's where we are right now.
Thank you for that clarification. Any questions on that process? All right, thank you for answering the report. Next up, we'll move to the Campus Welfare Committee.
Thank you. We're getting ourselves organized. We have our first meeting scheduled in October. We are missing 5 voting members on this committee, but I know that went out. One employee representative, a GPSA representative, a graduate professional student representative, a student assembly representative, and a student representative. So I would love to get those positions filled. I am working on getting information about exactly what this committee does and hope to have a great brainstorming session in October.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments for Deborah? Thank you very much. And then last of our committee reports, the Campus Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and the Environment.
Yeah. Thank you, Brandon. Just a brief update pending the availability of responses from committee members. The committee will either be meeting next week or the week following the return from fall break. And Gina, I'll make sure I'll let you know when that meeting is supposed to take place.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ian. So, yes, we are just getting up and running with many of these committees, so I understand they're getting them filled up and rolling is the first step, and then the next step is action. So looking forward to hearing from the committees on that. Just a general reminder for folks that we do have a University Assembly meeting next week. Reason being is that fall break would have interfered with the meeting schedule. So we do have a meeting on the schedule for next Tuesday, the 5th. Which typically would not have been 2 weeks in a row, so I want to make sure folks are aware of that meeting. And I think then we would move to liaison reports. If there are any liaison reports that would like to provide us with information, I'm looking for those folks.
Have we filled all the liaison positions so far?
That is a good question that I don't know the answer to. I believe we were not fully filled on the liaison position. We filled all of our University Assembly Committee members from the University Assembly, but there were some liaison positions that may be vacant. So I would ask if Richard could do a call-up to see if there are any vacancies we have yet to fill. Make sure to get that out. And we have made it through our agenda here. Nicely done, everybody. All right, with that, unless there are any additional items or questions, any motion to adjourn or
adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn, seconded by Richard, seconded by Jacob. All right, with that, unless there are any objections, we will adjourn. All right, meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.